When John Elder Robison published his memoir, Look Me in the Eye, in 2007, readers were given a window into the life of a man who spent 40 years knowing he was different, but not knowing why. It was not until he learned that he had Asperger's syndrome, a diagnosis that made sense of his often peculiar behavior, that John emerged as a fully realized adult. Now in his new book, Raising Cubby, A Father and Son's Adventures with Asperger's, Trains, Tractors, and High Explosives, he offers readers a father and son memoir like no other, a father and son who ultimately grow up together. It's a great pleasure to welcome John Elder Robison to the program.
Thanks for having me with you today, yes.
At what point did you decide you wanted to write about your relationship with your son and that father and son relationship?
The Cubby book tells the story of me raising my son with Asperger's. Look Me in the Eye and Be Different were based on my personal experience growing up with Asperger's. And when I published those books, many readers were parents, and they were interested in insights about raising their own children. Raising Cubby is one of only a small number of memoirs by dads about raising their sons. And it tells a story of me with Asperger's raising a son with Asperger's.
I mean, how much did you learn from your son about your condition, and ultimately, how much do you think you helped in letting him learn more about what he had and what you both share?
Well, certainly, looking at my son growing up, I was able to see some of the things I had experienced as a child being kind of replayed. You know, I'd see my son have the same kind of social failures that I had as a child happening to him. And I think because of that, it sort of sharpened my own memory of being young, and I was able to use the wisdom that I've acquired in the, in the decades since I was a little kid to help my son grow up to be more socially successful and aware than I ever was.
Where did the name Cubby come from?
Well, his mother was Little Bear. I called her Little Bear, and so it made sense when he came along that he'd be the bear cub, and I shortened that to Cubby.
Is it a name that he liked?
I think so, yeah.
He accepted it.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah. My mother went through her entire life as a cubby, but she also told us that upon her death, she never wanted it on her tombstone. She didn't mind her family calling her that, but she didn't want it to go any further. And realizing your condition, did you fully know? I mean, there are differences in between what you experience and what your son experiences. And at what point, as you write about beautifully in the book, of how you came to terms with what those differences were and are?
Well, I think that I've always known that I was different. I didn't learn about my own Asperger's until my son was in about the second grade. So earlier, I knew that he was different like me. I didn't have a name for it, but I still remembered the problems I had had, and I tried to, help him. And I just sort of did the best I could.
When you look at it, of how much is he defined, how much are you defined by Asperger's?
I think that we do many other things. I have a business restoring Mercedes, BMW, Land Rover, Rolls-Royce, and Bentley cars here in Springfield, Massachusetts, and I think that there's a large community in the automobile enthusiast world who bring me cars who don't have any connection to Asperger's. So I think, and then there are people in the special education or psychology or the autism science and medical communities, they only know me for that. So I guess I've become known for different things in different places, and I suppose you could say that Asperger's has shaped me in that way. My son is, very much, he's a young adult studying chemistry and studying electronics and trying to build a life for himself, and autism, I don't suppose, is really a huge part of it.
He became a brilliant chemist, though, smart enough to be able to make explosives and bring state and federal agents to your doorstep.
That is true. He was, yes.
And
I think what that shows is that young people on the autism spectrum may develop unusual interests, and sometimes the way they express those, like in his putting his videos of experimental explosions online, you know, that may not be the way other people expect, and people may react in unpredictable and negative ways towards that, and that's indeed what he learned.
And went to trial. I mean, this is somewhat this is sobering.
It is definitely sobering because you know, you as a resident here in the Northeast, I mean, you know that we have real crime where we live. We have armed robberies. We have, you know, rapes. We have, you know, major thefts and assaults. And every dollar that is spent in essentially a frivolous prosecution like the one with my son is a dollar that is not spent solving real crime that, you know, that plagues our communities.
So ultimately, he was accused of multiple felonies, a prison term.
He was accused of multiple counts of malicious destruction with explosives. That meant that he had to have had malice or evil in his mind and destroyed things with his explosions. And that was just crazy. All he ever did was set off experimental chemicals on the ground in the woods behind the house. There was never any property damage. There was never any malice. It was just a matter of scientific experimentation. There were never even any complaints. That's the outrageous thing about it. To see that twisted into felonies that could put him in prison for 60 years, it's just crazy.
How much of, you make the point in the book that if he did anything wrong, it was simply not thinking through the ways that his actions might appear to other people. Was it an opportunity, obviously sobering and distressing to you, to your son, to the entire family and community, but does it give you an opportunity to explain Asperger's and explain this to a larger audience so that there is an understanding?
I think that it does. I think that the first part of the book is a is what is hopefully an entertaining story of a dad who's different raising a kid who's different, and I think the latter part of the book describes what can happen when you run afoul of the wrong kind of people in our society. And I think that's something we certainly do need to have a dialogue about, because I think that the potential for public officials to ruin your family in pursuit of their own, you know, their own twisted goals, you know, that's something that really needs to be talked about, because those people aren't accountable at all for that.
You write in the early part of the book that you would not read your son traditional bedtime stories. You favored making up your own stories that were quite unusual.
I tried to make up stories because I became bored just reading the stuff out of books.
So they were about horses that were powered by nuclear energy, the origins of Santa as a whaling captain, very imaginative stuff.
Yeah.
And how did your son react?
Well, he liked the stories. I think he liked them a lot. He liked listening to them, and he always, you know, begged me to make up new ones. And he would say, "Well, what did Gorko do? And what did the fire lizards do?" You know, and he liked all the magical creatures I made up, and he even liked my Santa stories. You know, in Raising Cubby, people can read the truth about Santa for the first time. The question of where the coal for the naughty children comes from is answered in that book.
How is he reacting to this story about him?
I think he just kind of takes it in stride. Remember that a little over a year ago, on December 26th, 2011, he was on the front page of the New York Times in a big feature that they did called Navigating Love and Autism, that was a story about his relationship with his girlfriend who also has Asperger's. So he kind of came into the public eye with that, and I guess he's sort of used to it now. And he's also, I'm proud to say, going out and talking to young people about the experience of growing up different in hopes that they can do better.
And that's something that you have done yourself.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's pretty commendable for a 22-year-old to be doing.
Do you find that rewarding, of going out and talking to people and even writing books like this that give people an insight as to what you and your son have experienced?
I think so. Many people tell me that that's been a valuable thing for them, and they encourage me to do it more, so I would say yes.
Well, the name of the book is Raising Cubby. John Elder Robison will be at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts on Thursday, the 14th of March, for a signing at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more information about that event by going to odysseybks.com. Again, Thursday, the 14th of March at 7 o'clock at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley. Also on April 6th, John will be at Northshire Bookstore in Manchester Center, Vermont, for an event at 7 o'clock. Saturday, April 6th at Northshire, northshire.com for more information about that event. Again, the name of the book, Raising Cubby, A Father and Son's Adventures with Asperger's, Trains, Tractors, and High Explosives. It's published by Crown. John Elder Robison, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks for having me on with you today, yes.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.